Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Really? Sounds kind of happy clappy, doesn't it? Rejoice always. Does it mean everything is always perfect and awesome and wonderful? Of course not, right? Just from knowing you, I know that many of you in this place today are going through some really tough times. You think about thanksgiving and thankfulness and all that stuff, probably feels really out of place right now. You know, there's another scripture like the one that's on this sign. It's in Philippians chapter 4. Do not worry about anything. But in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't worry about anything. We hear those two scriptures, the one from Thessalonians, the one from Philippians, and we say, really? Give thanks for everything? Are you sure about that? Are we supposed to give thanks for tragedy? For war, for natural disasters, for death, for suffering? Are we supposed to be grateful for cancer, dementia, COVID, debilitating diseases? Are we supposed to be thankful for family strife, bullying at school, deer flies in June? Yeah. If only Noah had swatted one deer fly. You know, we'd be all set. If we go back and read that, Thessalonians. Give thanks for all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. Huge difference there. Right? Can God turn challenging things in our lives around for good? Yes, does it all the time. That's what he does, his Redeemer. He takes the stuff that the world, the flesh, and the devil throws at us and redeems it and turns it around for good in our lives. Do all bad things that happen come from God? There's a big question, right? I would venture no. There's sin in the world. There's the world, the flesh, and the devil. Can God use all things in our lives for good? Yes. Do we like it when we're in the midst of it? Probably not, usually. But if we trust God, if we know that he's got this, and that he holds us eternally, if we really trust him, and we know that he's with us through it, then we can usually get through it and navigate it. Someone once asked, why are we so quick to blame God for the bad things that happen and so slow to thank God for the good things that happen? You know, when we're really mad, when really bad things happen that are totally out of our control, we've probably all said it at one time or another, why God? What was the point of that? We tend to forget to give thanks when things are going really well. But we remember to complain to God about everything that's wrong in our lives. People seem to have a tendency to err on the negative side of things if we allow ourselves to go where our hearts tend to want to go. We tend to like to complain. A lot of times, our complaining ends up being sort of couched in the form of a prayer request or a concern, perhaps, about another person in the church or another believer or something, and then the complaint becomes gossip. And so rather than being grateful to God for the blessings in our lives, for our friendships or our families or our freedom and that kind of thing, we can pick out that thing to complain about and just hang on to it. It's a condition that's common to humans all throughout history. Go back and think about Israel for a moment. Remember when God was giving them bread from heaven? Like, they literally had manna from heaven. Probably had gluten in it, you know? And then they got the quail, right? They got all this awesome stuff. God was providing for their needs beautifully and miraculously. I would have been able to see that. And then we get this, we don't have enough. We're sick of this. We detest this miserable food, I think is the quote. Right? We detest what you're providing for us, God. It's not good enough. Tell you what, like, that was some pretty big shoes that they stepped in. We're guilty of stepping into the same shoes in one way or another at different times in our lives, of complaining about whatever it is that God has provided for us. You know, the sort of health, wealth, prosperity gospel is pretty big, pretty popular out there because it says nice things that people want to hear. You know, and this is saying that, you know, if you send money to this ministry, God is going to bless you exactly 10 times or exactly 100 times or 1,000 times with what you have sent. God wants you to be rich. God wants you to have over and abundantly more and all. And I'll tell you what we do in Jesus Christ, right? It's a different kind of wealth. It's a different kind of riches. When Paul wrote what he wrote in Philippians, don't worry about anything, but in prayer by supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. When he said, rejoice in the Lord always, you know where he was? Prison. He was going to be beheaded. That's where he was when he wrote about that, about being thankful. He wasn't living in a nice place, driving a good car, you know, having the time of his life. He was going to his death for the cause of Jesus Christ. He had every reason to be upset, to feel like the rug had been pulled out from under him. Can you imagine if someone tried to preach the prosperity gospel to him? It would have been interesting. So he's sitting in a Roman jail because he's preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. It's amazing that he would write those words. He's confronting issues of arguing and grumbling because that's what people were doing rather than giving thanks. In the book of James, it's written to not grumble against one another, grumbling and complaining against each other. And it had to be addressed because people tend to do that. True thankfulness and true godly gratitude is not linked to happiness, is it? Right? Happiness is just sort of a fleeting feeling. It's not linked to everything being okay. We can still be grateful to God and still have thankfulness to the Lord without having everything in our life be okay at that moment. What it is directly linked to, though, is trusting God in all circumstances. Trying to see the world and our lives from His perspective, which is an eternal perspective. Over and over and over again in Scripture, we're reminded that this life is a vapor, right? And so much of what we believe and do in this little vapor has such tremendous impact on the rest of eternity. When we trust God in everything, we understand that even those things that we call bad or see as negative in our lives are redeemable by God for good. If Jesus had not gone to the cross, if he had not walked out of that tomb, if he was not coming again, then we would have a much better case to complain about everything and be sad all the time, because we would be without hope. We would be living this life until we die, and then nothing. No hope, no resurrection, no redemption. But because we have an eternal perspective, we can look at what's happening in life and say, okay, how's God going to leave his fingerprints on my life through this. This is pretty bad, God. I can't wait to see how you're going to redeem this one. One of my favorite, more contemporary hymns is by Keith and Kristen Getty. And one of the verses in there says this: "Creation longs for His return, when Christ shall reign upon the earth. The bitter wars that rage are birth pangs of a coming age. When He renews the land and sky, all heaven will sing and earth reply with one resplendent theme: the glory of our God and King." If we can look at where we are right now, just for a moment, and then consider where we are going to be when Jesus Christ returns, that fills my heart with hope that I can't even describe. If we will allow that more eternal perspective to fill us, it will help us to understand what we're going through now in greater ways. In a big picture kind of way, we have everything to be thankful for because Jesus has won the victory. He has conquered sin and death. He is alive. And because He is, we too can live forever with Him in a renewed creation. That day is coming. But in the day-to-day, being thankful and grateful is a tough thing. We can't do in our own strength. In many respects, it's a serious spiritual discipline. Grumbling and complaining is contagious. Right? We hear someone else do it, it kind of gives us permission to do it too. Well, I got something to complain about. My complaint is worse than yours. Get this. We learn to one-up each other with the complaining sometimes. I'm not going to show it today in the interest of time, but if you Google Tim Hawkins and what Christians complain about, it's pretty funny. He's a Christian comedian. It's worth it if you need to laugh about complaining. But, you know, music, the sermon, church, the world, politics, the traffic on Washington Street in Claremont, the president, state of the denomination, the person we don't get along with at church. We can write down a list of complaints in no time. Pretty easily. And the thing about grumbling and complaining is it's not benign. It actually opens the door to sin. And ultimately for Satan to plant seeds of discontent, either in the church family or in our own hearts with the Lord. And grumbling and complaining at its root actually comes from a selfish place where we put ourselves on the throne. We pluck Christ off and say, well, it's my turn for a little while. It's kind of the opposite of what Christ commands of us, isn't it? We're supposed to mortify, to put to death the sinful self, the selfish self and its desires. And we are supposed to put on Christ and through the renewing of our minds and regeneration, His nature. And just as much as grumbling and complaining has an impact spiritually, thankfulness does too. And it has a more powerful one. When we are thankful, it disarms and renders benign that selfish bone in us that Satan uses to drive wedges between one another and between us and God. When we are thankful, it redirects our focus to trust God in all circumstances. When we are thankful, it recasts our priorities and it reprioritizes what our needs are. And it brings them into line with godly contentment. Paul said he knew what it was to have plenty. He knew what it was to not have enough. Yet, in God, he was content. Tough. When we are thankful, it takes that focus off of ourselves and it puts it back on Jesus. It frees us from the weight of bitterness and envy. It takes off the shackles of complaining and comparing. And it takes us off the throne and it puts Jesus back on. Ephesians chapter 4 says this, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. That's quite a list that we just went through. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. If we are engaging in holy thankfulness and godly contentment, it is really hard to harbor envy and bitterness. That thankfulness and that contentment floods it out and leaves no place for that other junk in our lives. So gratitude invites us to look for the good things in a situation, even if there's plenty of bad ones that we can easily point out. It invites us to look for those good things. It helps us to see possibilities where at first we only saw the opportunity to complain. Does that mean that we shouldn't express sorrows or complaints, that we should just like shove all those down and pretend that they don't exist and fake it? Absolutely not. The largest category in the book of Psalms is laments. Right? Huge portion of the Psalms is laments. And out of all those laments, there's only one that doesn't end in thanksgiving. It's what we do with our laments. It's whether we allow God into our lament. It's whether we actually want God's help or we just want to wallow in our ashes, in our torn clothes, and think that, sing that children's song, nobody likes me, everyone hates me, I think I'll go eat worms. Jesus quoted a lament song. He cried from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Job is full of complaints. It's also full of who God is. And Job undergoes quite a journey, if you go back and read it. It doesn't just park in lament and complaint. The book of Lamentations has these words, but this I call to mind, and therefore I will have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. That's in Lamentations. That's like the book of complaints. All these scriptures that we're looking at remind us to praise God in every circumstance. Even in the midst of pain, we can thank God for his presence with us. Because if we really get down to it, there are times when it's really just his presence is the only thing that gets us through. So let's go back to Jesus now for just a moment in closing. On his last night with his disciples, he had an awful lot of things he could complain about. He wanted to share this meal with them. And during the meal, he takes bread. He gives thanks to God. He breaks it. He gives it to his disciples. After supper, he takes the cup. Right? Gives it to his disciples. And we retell that every single time we have communion. Right? It's the words of institution come straight out of Holy Scripture, straight out of what Jesus did. It's called the Eucharist, which in Greek is the word to thank. What was Jesus giving thanks for? The fact that he was about to be betrayed by one of his friends? Literally sitting at the table, gets up and leaves, and Jesus is sitting there knowing that Judas is right now betraying him. How about, was he thankful that Peter was about to deny him? Right? The rock on whom he's going to build his church is about to deny him. Was he thankful for that? Or that everyone was going to abandon him? How about that he was about to be arrested? That he was going to experience extreme injustice, convicted, tortured, and die a horrible death? Gee, thanks, God the Father. Quite a thing. He was grateful for what he was about to go through. He was giving thanks because he knew that his Father was walking through it with him and that he ultimately was going to redeem something beautiful and wonderful out of it and bring good from it, ultimately redeeming every one of us, all of humankind, and when he returns, restoring creation from its broken and sinful state. So life happens to everyone. Everybody has awesome, wonderful triumphs and moments, I hope. And everyone has adversity, I'm sure. And it's how we as Christians respond that activate in our lives the power of God in redeeming these challenging situations. We can complain and we can sink into sin and bitterness and allow the evil one to have that kind of root. Or we can say, well, God, I could complain. In fact, I am going to complain to you. But at the same time, I trust you. I don't see how you're going to work this out. But there's nobody else that can. So we remember to give thanks to God for everything. At the offering time in our service today, I want to invite you, if you're so moved, to do something. This is not just a kids' exercise. I just had them do it so that you would be able to see what the paper was for and be thinking about it a little bit. You know, sometimes we sink into complaints that keep coming back around, and if we're honest with ourselves, they're probably complaints we should leave with the Lord and leave at the foot of the cross so that we can be released from their power. And at the same time as releasing ourselves from the power of those complaints, we bring our offering of thanksgivings to the Lord. In many respects, that's what the tithe is, right? When we bring our tithe to the Lord, we bring it forward, we offer it to the Lord. We don't just bring money, we bring ourselves, our souls, our bodies. The offering isn't just a collection to be able to pay the bills. It's an act of worship. It's an act of submission. It's an act of standing before the Lord and saying, with all that I am and all that I have, I honor you. I worship you. And so I invite you during the offering time today to bring up your complaints that the Lord, by His Spirit, is inviting you to leave behind. And also, I'm going to pass around that basket up there. Around amongst the congregation, and you can place your thanksgivings in there that we will offer to the Lord at the appointed time. Please pray with me. Lord, as we come to the season of Thanksgiving and coming into Advent, where we express gratitude for Jesus, even as we await Him coming as King, we lay before you, Lord, those parts of our lives where you want to deliver us from complaining, where you want to set us free from those negativity attitudes and things that cause divisions between us and the family and the church family, between us and you, Lord. Forgive us for holding on to grudges and complaints. Free us, Lord, for joyful obedience, trusting you in all things, rejoicing in all circumstances. Lord, for those of us that are really struggling right now, I pray by your Spirit you would give us extra grace, give us strength, Comfort us in sorrow. Lord, meet us in mighty ways that are clearly only from you. But when we come to the end of a particular season, we can look back and see your hand at work, see your fingerprints on our lives, and lift you up and give thanks that when we were so low, you were with us and brought us through. Lord, we thank you for this time of thanksgiving. We thank you for King Jesus. Help us to honor you with our lips and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.